This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Hello and welcome back to Blockbuster Backrooms. I'm your host Serena, and tonight we're joined by Danica.
Again.
We had a watch of A Colour Out of Space, which is known very well as that Nick Cage indie horror. It goes hand in hand with Mandy when you talk Nick Cage and, like, his indie horror. Danica, what did you think about the film?
It was good. It wasn't too... I watched it a day ago with you. It wasn't bad. It wasn't fantastic. It was just a nice, good background sort of movie that I just got a bit more out of it because I read the Lovecraft story.
Yes, which is a good point. For my listeners who don't know, A Colour Out of Space is one of H.P. Lovecraft's stories, which Danica's read, and I started reading, which is why I was like, well, let's watch this one.
I had read it a while ago with a lot of the other Lovecraft mythos stories.
Yeah.
And you're just currently getting through it. It's fun.
Yeah.
But a cosmic existential horror alien stuff is always good.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of it. So, and this one was done quite well. Just the normal pet peeves with movie tropes, but
yeah.
And a hot pink meteor. But to be fair, that was pretty dope.
Yeah.
It's a nice body horror.
The color saturation is very pretty.
Yes.
And the body horror is very reminiscent of The Thing. I won't lie. It did touch pretty close to home on the type of body horror that gets to me, which is being, you know, aware of the transformation that you're going through. Because you have a mother and you have the youngest son. And at one point, the oldest son is running with the youngest and they're like, fuck, we got to get away from this barn because, you know. Spooky light's going to mess us up. And then the mother is running towards them. And she grabs the youngest out of the oldest
hands. The favourite child.
Yeah, the favourite child. And kind of just holds him and ignores everyone else because the oldest has been like, Mum, we got to fucking move. We got to go. And then the colour into them. And when it draws away, you just see some twitching hands. But later it shows that the sun is being like...
Absorbed
into the mum through her back.
Yeah.
And
they have been merged together.
Yeah, and they seem very aware of it.
And in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the body horror isn't too... For me, I haven't seen much body horror.
Yeah.
It's not a big thing that gets me from what I have seen. This one I'd say is probably baby's first body horror. It's very palatable.
Mm.
It's like a little appetizer to get you into body horror, I'd assume.
Before you go into a film that's pure body.
Yeah, because afterwards, like the daughter's self-harm is very minimal.
Yes.
Mother and son getting fused together that's got a nice lead up to when you seeing what happened and what they turn into in the end.
Yeah,
and then everything else is kind of like... mutated animals, like the alpaca thing.
Yeah, they have a group
Nicolas Cage and his weird rash.
Yeah, his rash is gross.
Yeah.
So the stuff happening to the people.
This is about like two-thirds, like towards the end of the movie,
it is towards the end.
We just kind of skip the start because it's just dysfunctional family stuff.
Oh, the family fucking pisses me off.
Yeah.
They're not good at what they do.
I'm really sick of the dysfunctional family trope in movies.
Yeah.
Where it's just like... Mum's working hard, but she's perfect, but she's got cancer because she can't be perfect.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage is a really weird, benevolent father. That's just weird. He's better when he's unhinged.
He's much better when he's unhinged. Also, it's fucking strange seeing Nick Cage dressed as a dad. I don't like it.
It got less strange the more unhinged he got.
It did, yes.
It got a lot easier. He fit better into the role. The more
as he lost
his sanity. Yeah. But at the start, it was just really weird seeing him trying to be an alpaca farmer and touching those alpaca boobies.
Fucking hell. So for our listeners, because while this has been out for a little while now, It actually, I don't know how much attention it has gotten outside of like the larger horror community. So if you're a like soft watcher, we don't dive into much more than the mainstream and super commonly talked about. You might not know about it. It's a very good film, and basically the premise is you have this family who's living out on a farm.
Or in the sticks.
Or in the sticks, yeah.
It's not a farm.
They're like, what, 12 miles from the nearest town?
Yeah, that's what the daughter says.
Yeah,
you don't have to walk 12 miles.
It's super far out.
It's brought mentioned multiple times too. They're like, oh, we're living in the sticks. Oh, you live in the sticks. Oh, you live in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, the ambulance will be ages away because you're so far away and shit like that.
Yeah.
And this contractor or land surveyor comes by because he's trying, they want to build a dam.
The mayor, the bitch of a mayor.
Oh, yeah, the bitch of a mayor wants to build a dam. And
a freshwater reservoir. She hires this hydrologist to come out to survey the groundwater table.
Who is our narrator at the start and end of a story and the only survivor.
Yes.
So for all you people who want your black person to live, guess what? The black guy's the only one that lives in this film.
He's also the most fucking rational.
He is. I love him a lot.
I give that guy that character and that actor massive props for that.
Honestly, I like the water surveyor. I like him the best. I don't know his name. I forgot it. I've forgotten everyone's name. Except the chick. I think the chick was like Lavithian.
Lavinia.
Lavinia. It was something like that.
I remember that because it was a weird name.
Yeah, I knew it was weird. and I like the hippie.
Oh, and Benny, the older son, because Benny lives in the well now.
Oh, yes, that was a good one.
Yeah.
And yeah, I like the hippie.
And the dog was Sam.
Yes, the dog was Sam.
The dog was Sam.
But yeah, basically, they're living out in the middle of nowhere because Nick's Cage dad left his quote-unquote farm, basically house and land, to them. And you can tell they don't know what they're doing. Because
no, they're really, they're trying. It's
they're
an
trying
honest
their
attempt.
Best. So the mum is trying to do all of her work online now, and they have kind of shitty reception.
Wi-Fi, internet.
Yeah, Wi-Fi, internet.
Which is what happens. It's just one of the things you get when you live out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm speaking from experience.
Yeah. And, you know, there's, like, some money struggles, which you see, because despite the really nice house, their food's kind of shit. Nothing's upkept super well.
It's that classic juxtaposition of they live in this massive mansion. It's a five-person family with all these nice things in the mansion, but it's not kept up well because the mum is the only breadwinner.
Yeah.
She does, like, stock. She does stock.
She's doing
trades and stuff
fancy
that she can do, like, through distance.
Yeah.
Over the internet and things like that. Well, Nick is trying to be an alpaca farmer, and we never really see any kind of income stream from him.
No.
He just, it's like he milks them and he tries to grow crops, and that's kind of it.
He's trying to grow gardens, which are failing until the alien fucks with them. And it seems like for a moment there, everything's great because he's got these massive, freaky looking tomatoes, but they all taste like shit.
Yeah.
So he gets absolutely pissed off.
Which is bullshit because they're not freaky tomatoes. They're just a heirloom beefsteak variety of tomato.
They look so much bigger than they should be, though.
That's like, just because you're used to supermarket quality stuff.
No, like the way they were folded in, it looked like someone had folded.
Heirloom tomatoes are grown like that because they're made for pickling and preservatives.
They look like,
I've talked to you about this.
I know, but it's just weird seeing a tomato that looks like someone took a beanbag and pushed all the corners into the center.
I'll have to make one. I'll have to grow some and show them to you. It's like, no, this is actually very normal. It's probably the most normal thing in the film.
True.
Yeah.
It looks freaky.
Yeah.
But yeah, and he's also trying to farm alpacas, and they mention eating the alpacas, and the daughter's like, no, nobody eats alpacas, like, you use them for the wool. And, I mean, we both kind of went, ah.
You can, they're not meat animals, but you can eat them.
Yeah.
And the milk, like, she also, Lavinia was your classic teenage rebellious daughter.
Yeah.
But you hear very early on how she wants to get out. She's very much into witchcraft and Wiccanry. You get introduced at the start of her doing a ritual to call upon the four angels
to cure her mum of cancer
and to get the fuck out of the place.
And then you get a cute interaction between her and the hydrologist where she's like super bitchy towards him until he asks her what type of witchcraft she's doing, if it's like from...
It's either Wiccan or Alexandrian.
Yeah, yeah. And then she's like, oh... And, like, her interest is instantly, like, there. And that's fair because he is super cute.
Yeah, I didn't really like – I like that she was into, like, the witchcraft stuff and it was kind of accurate. And the fact that she was just riding out on this white horse. And I was like, oh, a bit of mystery. What's this? And then she goes home to her classic dysfunctional American family. And I'm
puts on her normal clothes and everything.
I mean, she would make a very cute, basic basic dipping their toes into goth.
Yeah.
Girlfriend. And the hydrologist was cute, too.
The hydrologist
and
was cute.
She was interested in him. And that was a really weird interaction between her and her mum about that.
It's just so bad.
Whole family is a fucking mess.
Yeah.
You've got useless dad, stressed and overworked
mum. Who either has or is recovering from recently having cancer.
I think she has cancer.
Yeah.
Who's absolutely lost her self-confidence because of her cancer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She does seem pretty on top of it all in the movie. So I like to think her treatment's going really well, at least.
I hope so. And then you've got the older son who just smokes weed and is kind of just your useless basement dweller.
Yeah. There is also a throwaway line about how he has a girlfriend, but he hasn't gotten to see her for over a month.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, well, it's because they moved out to there, so, like, there's definitely tension there for him, despite him seeming really chilled out.
Yeah. No, he was very happy to leave, too. He was going to leave with Lavinia towards the end.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Lavinia is your rebellious teenage daughter who wants to get the fuck out of Dodge because it's just useless and boring out in the middle of nowhere, which is fair enough.
Yeah, and then on top of that, when shit starts going sour, she's ready to just fucking walk.
She literally tells – she's the voice of reason very early on, being like, shit's going weird, Dad, Mum. Stuff's not right. Let's leave. Don't do that.
And they won't listen.
And they don't listen.
Like,
because they're parents. Kids don't know parents. Shit.
But also, I think it's this. He's just starting to go unhinged, despite not actually being at the farm. Because they're all starting to get affected, and the mum is cutting carrots and then cuts off her fingers.
Mm.
And there's a semi-funny scene because she's in shock, so she's not reacting like you expect, and she's just like, that's not good.
Mm.
And she's like herded into the car. She's like, why did I chop my fingers off?
And then you have the younger son, Jack, who has no personality except he likes dinosaurs and he has a blank slate for emotional damage to the audience.
Yeah. I do like him, though.
Yeah, because you're supposed to, because he doesn't do anything.
He doesn't do anything. So
he's just there to get, like, hurt or, like, highlight the weirdness.
Yeah, you can project onto him for a little bit, but also he takes a big brunt of it at the start.
He's supposed to, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's the first to be affected. He talks to the well. He's talking to the alien. And then, like, doesn't he die? Yeah, he gets absorbed into the mum and then he dies. Yeah.
But, yeah, so you get introduced to a dysfunctional family and then a meteorite hits their front yard.
Yes.
And...
which starts making things go fucky. And
basically, aliens get into the groundwater table, spread around, and then the people in that area, which is literally just the family and their gardener, druid.
Just a random hippie guy in the woods.
They'll drink the water and shit happens to them.
Yeah, as well as all the animals in the area too.
Yeah.
So anything that, like, consumes water and gets fucked.
And the plants. The plants get fucked too. You end up... The mansion and stuff, the settings are really kind of grey tones of, like, grey-green and brown and mist and all the sort of stuff.
It's very natural. I mean, the moment the meteor hits...
Natural but, like, monotone and dulled down.
The colour drains more as the pink starts to show up.
Yeah, and you start getting things like purple and pink... purple ivy and pink flowers, pops of colour around the well. And
like next tomato plants. You were like, those aren't tomato plants. And I mean, yeah.
The leaves were incorrect. But
yeah, because the colours, like, fucked it all up.
Oh, it was a bit more than the colours, but that's just me being nitpicky.
Yeah.
So meteorite hits the front lawn, growing very hot pink, because in the Lovecraft book, the colour is described as a colour no one has ever seen or can fathom.
Yeah, and... I actually mentioned this to you on the night. I think because it's like a magenta, and I'm pretty sure they chose magenta because I was like reading about how magenta is not actually a color, which sounds dumb as fuck, but it's because it doesn't technically appear on the color spectrum. It's just kind of outside, despite us being able to see it. It's a mix of things. Oh no, I forgot all the science behind it because I thought it was silly since we could see it. But like,
yeah, but yeah. So in the movie, it's a hot pink meteorite.
Yeah,
magenta color. But also, I thought there was a bit of color theory there as well because with all the green natural surroundings and then
and hot pink, because
they are opposite colors.
Yeah.
Just of discordant colors. They contrast each other too much.
Yeah,
like in a weird way. But yeah.
But it looks very pretty.
Yeah. So a meteorite crashes in the front of the yard. And what do? Is they call the sheriffs and they go and start poking it. Because, of course, that's what you do with space debris. Is you don't worry about any uranium or radiation or anything.
I mean.
Or toxic metals.
They do kind of mention that. They're like, don't get too close. It could have gas. And then also Nick Cage starts smelling shit like dead dog. And he's the only character that can smell anything from the meteorite. And the smell lingers for him. Like the entire film, and it's like built into his insanity.
Yeah, so they all start getting different senses of theirs affected. He gets the smell. The kids start hearing high pitched whines.
Yeah. The mum kind of just has that sewn out.
She just zones out.
And then after that, she's an amorphous blob, so she doesn't have much.
The parents also get removed from the situation for a while.
Yeah, because
she cuts her fingers off and Nick has to take her to
Arkham, which is 12 miles away.
Yeah.
And they have to stay, like, overnight.
At the hospital, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when you realise things start going fucky because the phone doesn't work.
Yeah, all the electronics get messed with, and also time ends up fucky because they're like, you need to put the alpacas in the barn by 10 o'clock. And then...
Benny does,
and Benny's fed them. Benny's, like, looked after them just like he should.
Yeah.
And then whenever, like, anyone else comes out, they're like, why are the alpacas
The alpacas here? Are in the garden eating stuff, and Lavinia says, I thought you were supposed to put those away. We're going to put them away, and Benny's like, I did. I fed them. I've put them away. I don't know why they're out, and he goes and puts them away again.
I don't like her in that scene either, because she also
I don't like a lot of her.
She's just like, I can't do everything. Like, you
barely do
too.
Anything.
And I was like, girl, you've done shit all so far.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't even made them dinner, like, the only thing she did, which, yes, it would be traumatizing, is she cleaned her mum's finger blood off the knife.
Mm.
And then she kind of hallucinated and got sick. But that was after yelling at him.
Yeah. At that point when she got hallucinated and got sick, the hydrologist has run some tests on the water and found some contaminants in it.
Yeah.
So he's headed back to town to tell the mayor.
Yeah, the water looks super duper fucked.
It looks like coffee. It looks like black coffee.
Yeah, it looks like black coffee. And he runs tests and he goes, this isn't good. I need to get more. But he warns everyone. He, like, goes to the house and he's like, don't drink the water. And she's sick at this point. And she runs back into the house again to spew. And he's like, water.
She could have thrown up sooner if she actually ran out the door past him and over the deck.
Yeah. And he also goes back to the hippie to tell him not to drink the water. And the hippie has, like, this weird recording setup, and he's like
big old boxy archaic
thing. And he's like, I knew no one would believe me if I didn't have it on tape, but listen to this, man.
You can hear the things under the ground.
Yeah, we're like talking, and the stuff is on the tape, but it's not anything.
It's unintelligible static.
The hydrologist is just like, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Don't drink the water, please. Yeah. I'll be back in a little bit.
So then the parents get out and they have to, because they're in hospital, and it's suddenly the kids left alone at home. Also, I feel like it's worth mentioning that the day after the meteorite hits the ground, it's disappeared.
Yes, because
the crater's not even there anymore. It's just like...
Oh, no, the crater's still there.
The crater slowly disappears as well.
Oh, true. I didn't notice that.
Well, like, towards the end, the crater's not there.
True. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, but the meteorite gets smaller and disappears.
Yeah.
And then the crater slowly disappears as, like, all this weird growth springs up. and all these like organisms, like that pigeon, neon pink praying mantis.
Yeah,
but it's not an orchid mantis, that is actually an alien mantis.
Yeah, the praying mantis looks really cool, and I wonder if it just doesn't affect insects as bad as like mammals and stuff, because all of the like furry and feathered things you see that get fucked by it get fucked so bad.
Yeah, insects can tank a lot of shit.
Yeah,
though.
And the mantis is just like, cool, upgrade.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like the group of alpacas get morphed into this gross, yucky blob with all the heads sticking out of it.
Like some blobby hydra sort of.
Yeah.
Their fur peels off and they're like covered in melting skin.
Yeah. The hydrologist says that it's all similar to radiation burns, which is really funny. Because what happens is he leaves when he's coming out of like the mayor's office.
The town hall.
Or the town
after
hall.
After reporting the contaminants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's like the sheriff and this guy and they're like, oh, hey, like, can you come check this out? Because you seem to know, like, you know your shit. And he's like, yeah, what is it? And they pull back a tarp and it's just like this, all the birds
this
and cats.
This trayload of fucking melted, burnt
flesh
of, like, wild animals.
Yeah.
And they, like, list off, like, yeah, I reckon there's a couple of wolves, some deer, there's a raccoon,
yeah,
some
there's
eagles,
a cat,
some birds, a cat.
Which is sad because we know
and they're
the
like,
cat.
Do you know what's causing this?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And he's like, that looks like radiation burns. And then you see, like, the two guys that had, like, got it in the truck just be like, oh,
yeah.
Cool.
They're like, we touched these with our bare hands and you're telling us it's irradiated.
Which then actually leads us into the finale, because this is pretty far through the film.
Mm.
But before we get to that, we're going to have a quick ad break. We'll be right back after this.
If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. NPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out npr.nz for more information.
Hello and welcome back to Blockbuster Backrooms. I'm your host Serena and tonight we have Danica.
Hi.
And we're talking A Colour of Space. Leading into the finale of the film, they've just seen the hydrologist has just seen this fucked up animal blob.
Yeah. Of burned, disfigured, melting animal corpses.
Yeah.
That these couple of local sheriffs have collected and they're like, what's causing this?
Yeah.
And he's like, radiation? That looks like radiation damage. And then they start realizing they picked it up with their bare hands and they're just like,
not very happy.
Which unfortunately leads into one of my favorite characters, cowboy hat.
Oh, the sheriff
dude.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. You're on screen for like
5 minutes.
5-10 minutes. You got killed off really quick, but I liked you.
Yeah, because basically the hydrologist is like, oh shit. This is, I know where, like, ground zero for the shit is. We need to get out there and help the family. And so him and the sheriff rush out, which is kind of just in time because in his insanity, Nick Cage has just kind of gone into denial.
I mean, his wife and his youngest son have been melted together. Benny's not in the well at this point, is he?
No, Benny's in the well at this point. By the time the sheriff and everyone get out there, Benny's gone. Because the sheriff gets out there.
Oh, yeah. Because Mum and Jack get melted together.
Yeah.
And the family has to drag them up to the attic because he can't put them in their misery. And then Nick Cage has to go down and shoot
the
screaming alpacas.
Yeah. And then he comes back up.
To shoot his wife, but then he can't.
Yeah, the two kids leave and he's, like, meant to shoot his wife, but, like you said, he can't. And while the two kids are out, basically,
they try and run away.
Yeah, they
with
get
the, horse.
The horse, but the horse.
Oh, because Nick Cage wants to leave in the car.
But
this was like his
work.
Last sane thing. But the, you know, aliens stop the car and technology working.
Yeah, he's just like the car won't, and the
car is not happening.
Yeah, and the little girl's just like, "What do you mean the car's not happening?"
Which is honestly the most accurate like teenage daughter thing.
Yeah.
Benny and Lavinia, the two teenage kids,
like,
try and leave on
leave.
The white horse that they have. The horse freaks.
Yeah, the horse is like, fuck this shit, absolutely not.
And runs.
Yeah.
And then Benny hears their dog Sam, who went missing a while ago, which we're pretty sure the alien ate.
Yeah, in the well. And what does he do?
He climbs into the fucking well like an idiot.
Despite the fact it smells of, as quote, dead dog.
Because all this random shit is happening, awful stuff.
Yeah.
And you hear your dog, who you haven't seen for a few days, barking in the well. And you can see movement at the bottom of this well.
Despite it looking like a
fucking gore pit. And you've seen your younger brother staring at the well and all these weird flowers popping up around the well and all this awful light coming from the well. And so what do? You climb into the fucking well.
And then what happens? He gets absorbed into the well.
Or burned or melted or eaten.
Yeah.
And Lavinia has to watch.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what did he expect?
Which also, like, she keeps her head stuck over the edge despite absolutely fucking running when the light comes.
Mm.
And I get she hasn't actually seen what the light does to people. Only Benny has. But, yeah. And anyway, after this, she's on her own and the sheriff gets there. And they meet Nick, and they're like, "Hi,
are you okay?
Are you okay?" And he's like scratching his arms. He's got
this weird
blood.
Like alligator skin rash on his forearms.
He's fucking spaced out, and he's just like, "Hi, oh yeah, we're okay." And
all our
like,
family's here.
Yeah.
Oh, just before this point too, Nick Cage has grabbed his daughter Lavinia and locked her in the attic with the monster mum.
Yeah.
With like a very terrifying thing of. Shut up, Lavinia, and go feed your mother, and locks her into the attic with her the creature thing that is now her mum.
Yeah, yeah.
Goes sits down with his big happy family with a bourbon and with a bourbon on the rocks.
Yeah, he's hallucinating that they're all there like normal.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Cool, where is everyone?" And he's like, "Can't you see? They're all here."
He points to an empty living room.
Yeah, and they're just like, "Oh, okay. That's good." And he's like, "Oh, except Benny. Benny lives in the well now."
Which is really funny. It was really funny. And then they hear a scream or a thump from upstairs.
And they run up just in time to save Lavinia, except they don't do it.
They burst into the room and they see this spider human creature thing that was Lavinia's mother.
Yeah, because
looming over
like,
her and licking her.
Yeah,
she's
and
screaming
I think,
on the floor.
I think the idea was that it was going to absorb her as well. But then Nick, in like a slight moment of clarity, runs in and shoots the fucked up mum. And then he also has to shoot the little boy on her back because killing one doesn't kill both of them.
Which was a question I had then answered.
Yeah.
I was curious about that.
And then he kind of just like leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone's just
like. He goes, "That's not my family," and then just leaves.
Yeah, and goes back down to his hallucinations. Yeah. And then they're just like, "Oh my God, Jesus Christ."
Yeah, and then hydrologist picks up Lavinia and tries to rescue her.
Yeah, and they're like, "We gotta go." And they're standing on the porch looking at the colour in the well.
The hydrologist and Lavinia is, and then Nick Cage comes out of the door with his shotgun still and points it at the well, which has the light coming out of it. The sheriff comes in behind him, realizes he's pointing, looks like he's pointing the gun at the hydrologist.
Yeah, and shoots him.
Shoots, and then the sheriff shoots Nick Cage.
Yeah, so Nick Cage is dead. And then the daughter's like, "Holy shit, you killed my dad." And they're like, "I know, it's terrible. The colour's gone back into the well now that dad's dead." And he's like, "But we gotta go." And the daughter's just like, "Don't you get it? We can't go anywhere. We're stuck here. It won't let us." And then she just mourns over her dead dad.
Which is quite an interesting change of character because the whole film she's been like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah,
and now she's
yeah.
completely given up. She's like, "I can't leave."
Yeah.
Not even that she doesn't want to leave anymore. She's just come to the terms that she can't leave.
Yeah. And so the sheriff and the hydrologist are like, "Well, fuck." I mean, how does the sheriff die?
The tree picks him up and stabs him in the face.
Oh, yes. They run out to get the hippie because he goes, "Oh, the hippie is still here. We can save him." Except the hippie.
Psych.
Yeah. The hippie's like this shriveled corpse listening to
the recording of his own voice.
Yeah. And you get to hear it now because he's talking about how, like, the alien in the ground wants to leave and shit. And how it merges with people and it's taking energy and stuff. And then his head starts to concave, like the dead hippie head concaves.
Also throughout the movie, you see glimpses and flashes of pink in any water and skin and creature's eyes. So you see pink under his skin.
Yeah.
You see pink in the ice cubes of the Cage's bourbon on the rocks.
Yeah.
and pink in the eyes of the animals around the place.
Yes, it's really cool. Yeah. I love how they, like,
incorporate it, yeah, showing how it's spreading.
But, yeah, and then he kind of just implodes on himself and they run out before the light can touch them. And as they're running away, we get a very Evil Dead-esque moment. Where a
very
tree,
quick.
Very quick. I won't lie, it felt a little bit out of place.
It did.
Because there was literally no lead-up.
It did. I mean, it was expected because the sheriff character was literally... We didn't even get his name.
No. Like, he's this last-minute character. We knew he was going to die, but it was kind of...
He's got the cowboy hat, the shotgun with the flashlight on it. He is death fodder.
So this tree just kind of picks him up and then shoves its branch into his throat. And
his forehead.
His forehead. Oh, true. And then the hydrologist is just like, yeah, nah, and keeps running.
He picks up the gun. He picks up the gun?
I think maybe.
I think he picks up the gun. Possibly. Which is sad. He should have taken the hat, too. Because the hat falls down and the gun falls down. No, the gun falls down and the hat falls down. Which is, I'm like, I'll take the hat and the gun.
But yeah, he runs and he, like, at this point, everything's kind of fucked and he can't get out of it. So, and like, everything's starting to go weird as a light beams up from a well into the sky. And you get this.
Nick Cage and Lavinia Nick Cage has come back to life and he tries to, or like in a different timeline, he tries to grab the dude and they have a struggle.
That happens when he goes into the house.
Yeah.
Because first he watches Lavinia walk down to the well. And she holds her arm out in like a praise the sun way, or
which
tea
is a
pose.
Nice callback to when she in the beginning when she's doing a ritual in the room.
Yeah. And then she kind of just disintegrates into the light, and he goes no, and runs into the house where Nick Cage is revived because time's getting fucked up, and Nick Cage attacks him. Yeah, and then he manages to get away because he runs down into the wine cellar. And that's how he
Which
survives.
I totally forgot they had because they show it once at the very beginning of the
Which
story.
Is for, hey, this is here. We're not making it up.
Yeah.
Because you're like, at the start, I remember you being like, I hate this. Why are, like, you're trying to make out that they're a struggling family, but they have, like, all this nice shit. They have a fully stocked wine cellar. And then later we find out it's inherited. And you went, oh, okay.
Yeah. And then at the end, I'm like, when the fuck did they have a basement? And you were like, that's the wine cellar. And I was like, oh, yeah, they had a wine cellar. Totally forgot about that. They touch on it once in the happy family dinner scene.
Yeah, because he stomps down to get a bottle of wine.
To try and make everything better, because alcohol always does.
Of course, naturally.
Yeah.
He even tries to rub alcohol on his fucking alligator skin.
True, he does, yeah.
And we were both just kind of like, yep, typical
that's
man.
That's such a classic old boomer dad sort of thing, where they have a serious illness and they're just like, it'll be right, or I can't be bothered going to the doctor.
It'll be fine. Like, the doctor will just give me
Just a rash.
Yeah, it's just, he does. He's just like, it's just a rash from the water.
I literally had a coworker whose dad ended up in hospital because, oh, I hadn't been feeling too great, but it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
Proceeds to end up with a heart attack and a few other issues in hospital. So it's like, come on.
I hope you
look
learned.
After yourself.
I
He's
hope
fine.
You've learned your lesson.
Yeah. He hasn't.
No. I feel like super dadly dads are just like that. They're like, it's fine.
Oh, my dad's like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this big explosion wipes everything out, and you get this instant color contrast from what was basically a pink hue film.
Like pink AI generated planetary landscape.
Yeah.
To white.
Yeah.
Just, ash white.
Yeah, just the ash from the
just
explosion.
Just white. Like, no colour at all. Black and white. Just all gone. It was actually really cool. I really
liked
that.
Super dope. And then the hydrologist crawls out from the wine cellar, and you just get this, pan up of him. And then it goes into the...
You get a bird's eye view, and it's just this massive crater of white that has taken up probably 12 miles of forest.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Which, in the books, they call it the Black Heath, because nothing ever grows there again.
Because all the
story.
Energy is taken out of it.
Yeah. And all the trees surrounding it are dead and rotting. And then you find out that he, the hydrologist, was narrating at the start, as he falls back into narration, where he's like, you know, I can build the dam, but I'll never drink that water.
Mm.
Like, you could never make me.
He smokes now because he's edgy and he's been traumatized.
Yeah.
Just fair enough. Yeah, so he does a bit of, ending narration.
Yeah.
The strange days and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then he walks off screen and a little pink bug follows him.
Yeah. And I gotta say, I haven't read all of A Colour Out of Space. I've only read the start so far, but they seem to get pretty much everything correct.
Yeah, I am unsure if it's a film adaptation of the story or a film adaptation of an assumed prelude to the story.
Yeah, I could tell you once I finish reading it.
Remind me, because I haven't. It was ages since I read
but
it.
But either way, they have changed it just enough so that it works better as a film. Because if they tried to do it the way it's situated in the book, it would end up with, like, the land surveyor goes to the old, like, this little hut of a super old man and gets told the story.
I'm just looking up the Wikipedia page, and it says it's a film adaptation of the short story The Colour Out of Space.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah.
So, May, yeah,
2019.
He must get told the story of the strange days, whereas the film decides to show us what's happening.
He's lived through it.
Yeah. So other than that, they keep it all pretty much on touch. Yeah. Oh, it's a very good film, I won't lie. I was giggling when you were like, it's baby's first body horror, because it did actually kind of scare me. And I went and I curled up next to Adam and went, the scary movie was actually scary. And he went, fuck shame.
Oh, what a loving
boyfriend. He's like, I got no sympathy, you chose to watch it.
I don't know, like, that body horror wasn't... I find that stuff kind of fascinating because I always wonder how, like, biologically it works. But
all right,
there was very little of it, so...
Yeah, it's just because it touches on...
How it happened?
Yeah, the specifics for me, and the specifics where it's like, you're a person, but now something's happened and you've gone through a descent of becoming, like, you're not really a person anymore, but you're fully aware of it. Like, there's nothing you can do
about it. You can't
even
properly speak either.
Yeah. And it's like she can't even move until the transformation's kind of completed itself. And by that point, she's not her anymore.
No.
So she can't even kill herself. Also, there's a really gross scene where Nick Cage kisses her blobby body.
Oh.
And all of this, like, sinewy string from her lips pulls up with his. And he does it two more times.
Like, you know, when you peel off, like, adhesive, backing adhesive, and the strings of glue are there.
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
It was pretty yucky.
I know it's supposed to be like a loving moment where he's like, you'll always be my golden lady. I love you. You're my wife and all the shit.
Because earlier in the film, she's like, I don't feel attractive anymore.
Because of her cancer.
How could you still love me? And he's like, well, like, no matter what happens, you'll always be my golden lady. And it proves true when he kisses her scary monster body.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Honestly, the scariest thing about that was dysfunctional family, but that's just me.
So I think the lesson to take away from today's podcast is if you have a dysfunctional family, you're going to die.
Yeah.
If you're in a horror movie.
Yeah, and listen to your kids.
Listen to your kids.
The kids say there's something weird going on, just hear them out.
Yeah, even if it sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, just be like, all right, I'll take a look into it, bare minimum. And then you don't have to do shit, to be honest. Like, just being there and being like, yeah. Okay, I'm listening. I hear you.
Yeah.
They don't know if you look into it or not.
No. No, they won't. So just comfort them.
But yeah, so to survive a horror movie, just make your family function.
Yep.
Sorted.
Yep. Also means there's more of an emotional impact when one of them dies.
That is true. It is.
Because you actually care about them.
Yeah. I mean, I did care about our blank slate tiny child with the glasses. But also, I won't lie, I've seen baby pictures of Adam, and they kind of look the same. Small, tiny, nerdy.
You're doing this to yourself.
Huge glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it's funny. So I told him that too. I was like, he died in my horror movie.
There's probably a few more of those. So, oh well. Sucks to be him.
Sucks to be him. but yes, a very good film. I enjoyed it a lot.
I'd just like to add here, apologies if you hear me coughing. I have a frog in my throat and I have been a little bit sick. So I am sorry.
Nah, you're all good.
Yes.
But yeah, final thoughts, Danica, before we jump off.
Pretty good. Pretty movie. Like I said, good if you want an introduction to body horror and you can kind of... The pacing was fine. It didn't seem...
I like the pacing.
It didn't seem too slow in some places. Although, they actually kept a really even attention.
I won't lie. I feel like
Lavinia.
Lavinia. I keep wanting... Lavithian's like a giant monster, I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's a Leviathan.
Lavinia. I feel like she started when she got really mad. when the parents got back, I was like, the parents haven't actually been here for any of the weirdness other than the mum chopping off her fingers. So I get why she was being like, shit's really weird, we should go. But there should also be a bit of understanding of like, wow, I went through all of that alone.
Yeah, my parents weren't here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also Nick Cage is losing his sanity by then as
well. He also like straight up yells at her and chews her out.
Yeah, and tells her to fuck off.
Yeah, and tells her she's imagining things.
Which we also forgot to mention. After that, she's going to run away. But then she looks at her copy of the Necronomicon, which isn't like the really crazy one that you're all used to. It's like the one you can buy.
The softback, paperback.
Yeah, one. Yeah. With like fake blood on the cover. And she looks at it. And you know what? It is fair. I didn't read enough of a story before we watched this to know if it appears in the actual film.
I don't think it does.
Yeah. But she, like, goes upstairs and she does a ritual and she, like, cuts symbols into herself. And you're like, oh, cool. But they don't really do anything to help her.
They don't. I honestly thought they would have, but they did. Because they made such a point to mention that she does witchcraft at the start. Yeah, and then she carries on doing it throughout. It's a consistent thing throughout the movie. And yeah. Nothing happens. It saves her from nothing. Which makes sense if you want to think of it like it's an outer space. It's cosmic horror.
The whole thing
is that it's just total futility.
Also, fun fact about H.P. Lovecraft. Everything he talks about is like cosmic horror.
I know, I love it.
Yeah. The only time they're mentioned as gods is with cults that worship them like gods. Because at the start of a book I'm reading, the Cthulhu Mythos, which collected all the Cthulhu works, or Cthulhu-based works, it mentions in the introduction that, like, to think of them as gods is not actually how you're meant to think of them, because they're just these crazy cosmic entities that don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I really like. And it also does make sense why the ritual wouldn't work, because also in the things I've read, despite having, like, people that worship them, they don't give a shit.
No, they don't.
They're just going to be like, cool food.
They're beyond us, really. Yeah.
Yeah, we're ants to them. They give as much care to us as we would to, like, a little line of ants in our kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm a fan of cosmic horror. There's just this whole futility of being able to do nothing while we sit on a little rock in a spinning cosmos.
Oh, me too. I love cosmic horror.
It really fucks me up when I have, like, a bad dream about it. It's just, you're sitting on a hill watching this black hole coming in, and you're just like, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do.
But yes, you also made me think I have a few movies I want to show you. But for now, we will call it quits. Thanks for listening, everyone. It was a bit of a quick one today because we're running behind schedule. But that's A-okay. Anything you'd like to plug or say before we jump off, Danica?
No.
Right on. As always, I'll plug myself. If you gain some interest in me and want to see what I do outside of Talk Horror, you can find me across all social media as Shit, I'm an Artist. That's I-M-M-A because that's how I speak, so that's how I like to write stuff.
It's that Kiwi slang.
Yeah. And if you enjoyed this podcast, you can find all my other podcast episodes up on the NPR website, which is npr.co.nz/blockbuster backrooms, as well as on Spotify, just under Blockbuster Backrooms. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Bye.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.